and he was doing so poorly in school because he couldn't. What was happening was the school system couldn't keep up with him. He was too far advanced, and he has now found an opportunity to go beyond that. The school is based on ability in every subject, and that way, whether a child is bright in one subject and not as bright in another, then they can excel in whatever they want to. And
in other words, you don't put the same ages together. No, it's like here. Age 6 is in the first grade, age 7 is in the sixth grade.
Yeah, it's not based on age, it's based on ability.
Mm-hmm. That's, for example, that's an example like one of the little fellows, well, he's 10 now, Martin.
That's what
he's talking about. Oh, that's what you're talking about?
Oh, yeah.
He's too much. He's talking about books he's reading.
Yeah, he's very bright, but I certainly don't want to give the impression that the child that doesn't necessarily have the ability to become, a genius and read books, is any less valuable. Each child is an individual, and you're trained in the areas that they have ability in, and they all have abilities in different areas. And there's no one area that's looked upon as more important than another area, so that every child and every person in Jonestown feels that what he has to contribute is important, and it is.
One of the special things they've done, though, is that they've gone back. A lot of reading ability is based on motor skills, which is why the emphasis in
motor
the top.
Motor skills, what do you mean?
Well, for example, crawling is very important, the crawling stage, and learning to be coordinated. And so they emphasize a lot of that in the school, too, is coordination, because it's got a direct correlation with reading. We have several trained teachers there, educated in the United States as well. And one of them was educated in handicapped children, which has been a great asset, because whether the low achiever or bright student, everyone is handicapped in one way or the other, because they may be handicapped in certain subjects. And so he has done a marvelous job of adapting every situation to the children.
Do you think the reason why the children are excelling as much is because they have less distractions, such as TV and all the rest of this?
I think that's true.
All the other distractions,
absolutely.
And all that.
Another, I think, very important factor is that our children know they are beautiful. They have a good feeling about themselves, their self-image. And as I've said before, unless you know you're okay, you can't really think that anything around you is okay. They know they're important.
Let's get to the question of food. Because I know, for example, in a situation like everybody, you got to plant. If you don't plant, you don't eat. Because it's in a situation that you must raise your own crops, right?
Yeah, to a great degree.
Which you don't import, but basically that's, you want to be self-sufficient,
well,
so you raise your own crops.
That's what we're
striving. Basically, most of the people come from an urban area, right? People here now. You tell me, give me some insights. Give me some insight on adapting on the question from an urban area to an agriculture area, and as far as a lot of people, especially from the film.
Well, I'll tell you. When I went down there, being a city dweller all my life, so to speak, as close as I've ever been to a farm was when they used to bring a truck around to city schools when I was in L.A. with cows and horses and pigs on it, one of each animal. Really? They used to bring it around and show you, and this was as close as I ever had been to a farm. But when I went down, the adaptation was, when you got ready to go out, I asked them, I said, well, I don't know anything about farming, I'm going to learn. He says, well, okay, come on, you can go with this crew. And about 10 of us, I guess about 10 of us, we went out. And whatever field you go to, they explain to you what's in the field, whether it be edibles, cabbage, greens, corn, cassava, bananas,
peanuts,
you name it, whatever it is, cucumber, whatever it is, they'll explain to you in detail what it is. First of all, they show it to you. That'll start you off. Then they'll tell you the weeding, the hoeing, the planting process, and the general maintenance of it. And you go from there. And I mean, it's just listening and then taking a hoe or a digging fork, whatever you need to start doing the job. But once you get into it, I mean, I love it. I mean, that's where I wanted to go back when I do go back, is back and work in the fields, because I've never done it before. It's a new thing to me, and I like it, because I like it more, because after you get through working in the field, when you come to eat dinner, you can look and say, well, God, I remember this. I planted this seed here. You look at all this food on your plate, and you say, well, I helped put this. I helped produce this, right? It gives you a good feeling on the really serious side. It does give you a good feeling, and everybody appreciates what they do, because you can see, I guess you say, the fruits of your labor, or the vegetables of your labor, whichever way you want to look at it. Because we have fruits, too, now that are starting to come around.
But, and I think, excuse me, living in a rural rather than an urban area also includes, you know, what other activities we have. And we want you to know that there, I don't know how many thousands of books have been provided for the people there. We do have television that has been taped. We have the television.
Videotape.
We do have movies brought in. We do have parties. We do have fun in Jonestown. So that also is a very full fun.
And everyone takes a turn. seniors not included, and children, of course, not included either. But everyone takes a turn working in the fields, too. And so that there is no elitism that ever develops, because everyone gets a chance. We don't call it get a chance, you know, because it's such a stimulating feeling to feel no pressure at all, and to feel that you're really a part of the community, and you can feel no more apart than working in the fields of any place in the farm.
For example, the Guyana is a tropical country. What about the question of certain crops? Were you successful in transporting certain crops from here? What kind of crops in Guyana usually grow? I don't even know that.
Most of their biggest crop is the cassava. Cassava is a root crop, and they use it to make flour, which you can make cookies out of. And also, too, they use the flour in the aluminum mills, because they mix it in with bauxite. It's a
starch.
Mm-hmm. Starch from it. They use bauxite.
Also like that.
And that's what we've done even further with it. We've taken to making tapioca out of it. We made foot powder out of it. We made, like I said, flour with cookies out of it.
Cereal
out of it. I mean, it's like 101 uses you can use cassava for.
And cassa reef is a natural preservative. And it's the most interesting thing. Cassa reef is squeezed. You start by taking the cassava, and you grate it, squeeze the juice out of it with a press, and you take the juice and you boil it down. Well, you can let it sit for a while and take the starch off it, which is used as regular starch, like cornstarch or in the aluminum mills.
Mm-hmm.
But you can boil down the cassa reef, and then you make what Guyanese call pepper pot.
Right.
And pepper pot is something that you can heat. If you heat it once a day to a boiling point, it'll stay for years. It's a natural preservative, and it'll never spoil. It's the most remarkable thing you've ever seen. And I understand in the CARICOM Secretariat, they've had
What secretary?
The CARICOM, for the Caribbean,
Caribbean
Community. They had a pepper pot, I was told it may be a myth, and I was told they had one going for 9 years. But it can last that long. It never spoils. No food spoils in it. This has to be heated once a day.
Some of the crops, you're talking about cucumbers and stuff like that. Are these crops you bought, like stuff, seeds and bought?
Guyanese eat much of the same foods we do.
Mm-hmm. So all the foods you're planting in agriculture down there is basically the foods that are already there.
With the exception of watermelon, believe it or not, watermelon. I mean, that's a lot of fruit we eat, but watermelon's kind of hard to grow down there. Mm-hmm. But we've got it growing now, because being in the middle of the jungle, because the plant gets too wet when it's a baby, and it'll get really destroyed. And tomatoes, we're having good luck with tomatoes now, because tomatoes is hard to grow.
So that's what you brought down. That's what you imported, tomatoes, watermelon.
Yeah, the big tomatoes, not the cherry. The cherry tomatoes, they grow on a vine, and those will grow. You can get those to grow. But the big ones, because they've been in jungle areas, There's a lot of little bugs that'll just go up your root and just tear your plant up quick, unless you grow a quick plant and get it out of the ground. So tomatoes are doing quite well.
Do you have any problems with that insect stuff? Do you use any kind of?
Yeah, we have insecticide.